B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Go to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Make sure you download the app and tell your smart speaker as well to play 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. On 98.5 The Sports Hub. Go to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Make sure you download the app and tell your smart speaker as well to play 98.5 The Sports Hub. Baseball back at the table yesterday, negotiating players, owners, the whole deal. And for the first time in all of their negotiations and in all of their talks, I feel it is less than likely that the baseball season will happen.
Boy, I thought hockey would not happen. You know, two, 3 weeks ago, I said hockey, there's no freaking way they're going to play hockey. It's too long of a layoff for them to get back. And you thought baseball would have been. I thought baseball was going to be the first one back. I really did. And I think it's just totally flipped now.
So yesterday, as part of the negotiations, more on player pay cuts were talked about. And under one scenario, you would have top players that are taking massive pay cuts, and you have other players who make less money that won't be taking as much of a pay cut, is what it would basically be. Hardy, I know you had one number that you referenced on David Price.
And there are different examples here, but it's a sliding scale, just to kind of get the conversation going here.
Yeah.
So the way it breaks down, so many problems with this. According to Major League Baseball, their proposal wants to cut salaries on a sliding scale, so the more you make, the more your salary gets cut. Okay? So if you make between the league minimum, which is $563,000, does that sound right? Is that what a minimum?
Yeah, about that.
Okay.
Wait, $600,000.
The league minimum?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, okay.
$563,000 and change. If you make between that and $1 million, you will make 72.5% of your salary.
Okay.
If you make between $1 million and $5 million, you make 50% of your salary.
Okay.
So the first thing I would say is, boy, it would be so much better to make $900,000 than it would be to make, say, $1.1 million. Like, you would rather be making $200,000 less a year because you'll end up pocketing more money. If you make just over $1 million a year, under this proposal, you're going to get $500,000. If you make $900,000 a year, you're going to end up making well over $600,000. You understand? Like, that cutoff.
Right, so their math is garbage. Their tax brackets are bad.
Right, because, it slides. So, again, like, now, they go from 1 to 5 million, you get paid at 50%. If you make between 5 and 10, you get 40% of your money. So there are these issues where you're right on the bubble. It's like, you know, like you said, it's like being on a tax bubble. Like, oh, I would have been right. Better off making $10,000 less last year because I would have owed, you know, 30 grand less in taxes. No, that would have been
except,
great.
Except tax brackets are a little bit more gradual.
Yes.
These, right? these are sort of drastic.
Yeah, if you make between 10 and 20 million, you'll be paid at 30%. And here's the one that the highest paid players are balking at. $20 million and up, you get paid 20% of your salary.
So all the best players in the game, the Mike Trouts, the David Prices with the big contracts, those guys are going to make a fifth. Oof, that's going to be a hard sell to those guys.
Yeah, what's Harper think about it? What's Snell think
about it?
It's
going to be a hard sell.
You're pissing off your superstars now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the examples, Mike Trout, who makes he's got the highest full season salary, $37,666,000, would make $19 million on a prorated basis over 82 games. He would end up having a base salary of $5,748,000.
So Mike Trout would make $5 million this year?
Almost six.
Now this sounds ridiculous when you're talking about normal everyday people, but it would not be worth it for Mike Trout to show up.
No.
I'm going to make $38 million this year. Nah, you're going to make a little less than six. What happened? Well, 20. You're 80%. You're got to take an 80% haircut on the games that you're going to play. Wait, 80% of my $38 million? No.
Yeah.
80% of half of $38 million. Oh.
Oh, potentially no fans risk, and then you risk your health. And oh yeah.
I don't want to play baseball as much as I thought I did.
Yeah.
Mike Trout, as you know, just signed a 12-year deal worth $430 million, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's played, what, 1 year on that deal so far? I think he's played eight. Has he played a year on that? So he played one season last year. That means he's got 11 years to go, and so let's say he skips this year. That means he's still got about $350 million coming his way after this year.
He'll be all right.
If you know you've got $350 million guaranteed to you that is coming your way after this year, and you're Mike Trout, whose wife is about to have a baby, correct? And that's one of his concerns, traveling or being able to be allowed into the hospital and things of that nature. If I'm Mike Trout and I'm in his position, I'm not going to show up. I'm not doing it. If I were him, that's just what would happen, and I think will happen.
You know who has to show up?
Who?
Mookie. Because if not, he's not a free agent.
Oh.
Right? You got to get a year of service. He's got to get that year of service. He doesn't have the year of service yet.
That's a good point.
I would assume, unless they make some sort of arrangement with the players, which it looks like nobody wants to budge on this deal, Mookie has to get his year of service in to become a free agent.
But if they didn't play,
I thought service time things. A free agent. Wasn't there a deal made on service time that even if
the season's canceled versus the season being played and you decide not to play, is that there's got to be a distinction there?
I forget. There was service time was brought up in those negotiations in March.
If I'm the Dodgers and I just traded for Mookie, I don't want him to become a free agent if he does. If he decides, you know what, we're playing a half a season, but I'm not going to play because it's too much of a risk for me. Okay, then you're going to play for us next season, and you become a free agent after that.
Yeah, see, these are some of the things that I don't think they have figured out yet. Like, they don't have the details worked out on that. That's not even in play. There is no plan for if the season gets canceled, what they're going to do with service time. It hasn't been negotiated yet. But if they do play, whatever the length is, each player will get a full year of service. So if they play, yeah, I guess you'd be right. Mookie does have to play. Or they'd have the case.
Right.
All right. So Mookie plays. Mike Trout's not. What's Mookie's salary for this coming year?
$27 million. And he would earn 20% of that. So he would make $2,700,000.
No, that's 10%.
Because he's going to make half of the $27 million. So 13, yeah. So it's...
No, that's not the calculation. It was one-fifth, I thought, overall of what the total number was.
One-fifth of the prorated number.
So one-fifth of one-half?
Correct.
Oh, so that's how Trout gets to his number, too, then.
Yes. So for those guys, you just have to take 10% of their full salary.
Oh, I don't like their chances of this. If that's where they're at, I don't like the odds. I don't like the odds of baseball making a comeback here.
So Marcus Stroman, the pitcher beetle, agrees with you. He tweeted yesterday, season's not looking promising.
Yeah, no, it's not. Not if this is where they're at. And they've still got more to figure out.
So Mookie would have to play, and David Price would not. Right? If you're David Price, you wouldn't play based on that because you have all that money coming to you.
Yeah, especially since he's got plenty of money in the bank, too, already.
Yeah.
He's banked all his money. David's in Bridgewater. David.
Gentlemen.
Yes.
What's up?
Can you hear me? Can I just yell at you real quickly about the – and I know you're just doing the sports radio thing, but – talking about the asterisk for the NHL, you know, whoever wins the cup and how it's not even the same year anymore. Are you trying to crush whatever is remaining of our souls as sports fans out here? We just want the season back. And nobody remembers when there's shortened years or lockout seasons or they change the playoff format. And the Bruins are still hockey players. I don't think they're fishermen now because they haven't played hockey in a couple of months. Whoever wins the cup is going to earn it. Can you give me that?
Well, I mean, I think it's much different than a lockout year.
Yeah, dude, I think people are going to remember this
when you have a pandemic and you haven't played in over 6 months. I mean, yeah, your year is much different. It's almost like a restart. It is definitely an asterisk year.
You don't remember who you beat or who you played or most teams, how they got there, if they had an easy road. Like last year, if the Bruins had won, you would not be talking about their easy road to getting to that point. And so that I agree with. But this time, this year, under these circumstances, something tells me we're going to remember what happened during all of this. It sort of stands out as something none of us have ever done before or been through. This might be a memorable one. You might remember how this played out. It happens every, 100 years or so right now. So, yeah, I think we're going to remember this. I think it's going to be something that you look back at and say, oh, remember when the NHL made a complete farce of their playoff system? You remember when that happened? That's the stuff you do remember. When you change the way it's played is when you look back and say, oh, yeah, that was stupid the way they did that.
Shove this one in.
Oh, it's moronic when they did that crap. 617-779-0985.
Yeah, and you're gonna think back at. No one's gonna remember when you think back on the 2020 Stanley Cup champion. They're hoisting the cup in an empty arena.
Yeah.
No, I think that image is gonna be burned on all of our retinas for a while.
Yeah, I think we'll have some recall on that one.
Hey, what time's the parade start? Oh, there's no parade. That's right. Yeah, totally normal. Normal year, the new normal. Yeah, you'll remember this one. No comparison to lockout. No comparison to lockout year.
Meanwhile, in baseball, the Oakland A's are the first team to stop paying their minor league players. We'll get to that next.
Ooh.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Got an itch for sports talk while you work?
So just dropped his phone down his shirt.
You want to know why? He was using it to scratch his back.
Solak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Oakland A's are cheaping out, not paying their minor leaguers who make $400 a week. They've decided they're not going to pay them anymore. They're done paying them. And the total estimated number to pay all their minor leaguers for the entire year is about $1 million. The estimated payment for the entire year is about $1 million for the Oakland A's.
For their minor leaguers, yeah.
Yeah, yes. For the entire minor league system, and they're choosing not to do it. They're saying, we're too bad. I'm not paying you. You're not playing any games right now. We're not paying you.
Right.
And how much is the owner worth? Like $2 billion?
Look, I don't have the exact number. It's about $2 billion.
See, I'd rather have his guys go to unemployment and make $600.
Isn't that sad? They'd make more. They'd make more collecting.
This is why people. This is why people. When things get right here, and you have to talk about small businesses and bars, people are not going to want to come back because they're actually making more money now that they found out on unemployment, and it's tough times to go through. Tough times to go through here, but the owner billionaires are not going to pay a guy $400 a week for a minor league club. That's ridiculous.
Yep, that's what it is.
To ride buses and what those guys go through and carry bags and the way the system is set up. To hope someday that maybe they'll hit free agency or arbitration or something, and they'll get their money, but you won't pay them $400. It's pathetic.
And I don't even know what the argument is. Like, I don't think anyone's going to argue against the players here. You know, like baseball has benefited greatly from their minor league system.
Yeah,
not really paying anybody. Some guys do get paid. Top prospects get paid. They get huge bonuses out of high school. You know, some guys get $600,000 or $700,000 or more in some cases, but most of them don't. Most of them don't. And it's a system that has benefited baseball greatly. But nope, that's it. Yeah, you're $400 a week. Forget Mike Trout turning his nose up at $5 or $6 million. No, they won't even pay the guy $400. Nope, you can't have that.
Who the hell is the
point?
Guy?
0.05% of that guy's net worth. That's what $1 million. Not 5%. 0.05%.
Good dude.
Yeah.
Pete's in Arlington. What's up, Pete?
Hey, how's it going? So I was just weighing in on the Bruins season, and I guess it comes down to, I mean, you can call it whatever you want, if you want to call this a championship or whatever, but, I mean, if I just ask someone, would you not put an asterisk next to any team that won a championship in which they played zero playoff games, I think that would be disingenuous if they said that they wouldn't put an asterisk next to any team. So,
who's advocating for that? Who's advocating for just crowning them champs?
Well, some people are saying that, you know, like if they just call the season at this point and that like they're the best team.
I've heard that, yeah.
You know, like they've said, that's stupid too.
That would not recognize them as that, right?
That's worse. That's even worse than what they've got now. That's way worse. No. Oh, just crown them. Let them be cup champions and move on.
No.
No. No. That would be completely and undeniably illegitimate. Get out of here with that. No way.
See, it's the screw you crowd too, though. Say the Bruins would get popped somehow and get eliminated early, and I think people would accept it more. Then be more pissed off at it because, yeah, see, they got screwed from the beginning. This is not the way the thing should have played out. Everything worked against them here. People would accept them losing if they got popped early, more so this year than the way things ended last year, as pissed off as we were last year.
People are getting upset with us, too. We got an email. You got the same one, Beetle.
What is it?
Is it necessary for the format to mess with the 1 through 4 seeds? No, but really, stop whining about it. There's no home ice. All there is to play for a last change because no one is getting home games, home crowds at their games. Everyone has the same layoff, so the seeds aren't really going to be about who the better team was 4 months ago, but who happens to be the better matchup. It's quite possible the 5 seed is going to be a better matchup for the Bruins than the 10 seed. All true. Then why have any seeding at all? Why not just bring back all the teams and do a brand new tournament?
Yeah, why don't we just let the 12 seed in now?
Either the regular season means something or it doesn't. And they're saying, "Yeah, it means a little bit. It means something, but not everything."
By the way, don't minimize last change like that doesn't count for anything.
Yes.
Well, because it does.
It should.
I know that there's no home arenas, but still, that does count, and that's still is something you want to have the ability to do as much as possible in a playoff series. Let's go to Jeff in Nashua. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Long time no talk, but I've finally gotten up the strength to call you guys back with this whole debacle going on. But anyway, the A's. Now, I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area as a Giants fan, so don't get me wrong. I hate the A's as much, if not more, than the next guy. But they, aside from this ridiculous decision not to pay the minor leaguers, talk about ruining morale, the A's are no longer, they're the first major league team to not have their games on the radio. You can only hear them by streaming, and I know they're trying to claim that they're very progressive. I don't think that's the way. I just don't think that anybody, no station wants them bad enough, and there's no advertising for them. So it's kind of ridiculous. It's a sad situation. So anyway, take care, guys.
Okay. I don't know what that has to do with paying the minor leaguers, but no radio rights for the A's. Nobody wants them. Nobody cares about them.
You play it on your smart speaker.
Redheaded stepchild.
Hey, smart speaker, play the A's game.
Great. All right, then. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. We've got a few things on the table here. The NHL playoff format. Michael Jordan is being accused of being caught in a lie today, despite, I don't think, lying. I think he told us in The Last Dance. And also this, Major League Baseball about to not have a season. Here's a question I have about this if they don't have a season. What will be the lasting damage from this for baseball? Because I think the gut reaction is, oh, they're going to get hammered. They're going to have a loss of revenue in the short term, and it's going to turn into a loss of revenue in the long term because fans are going to turn their back on baseball. They're going to abandon baseball. They're not going to watch it. They're not going to go to the games. You know, these greedy players, all this stuff we've heard. You know what I think will happen if they don't have a season?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
They'll come back next year and it'll
be... Casket Flag will be packed. We'll be doing shows from down there. People are going to be somewhere on Lansdowne Street. Yep, there'll be buzz.
At least at the beginning. I mean, the stuff that we kind of took for granted for a long time, it won't take for granted again immediately. And then we'll all start to take it for granted again. You know, we'll start to... treat everything and dismiss things that we don't care about. But at the very beginning, I think people will be back. What I think might be more interesting, Beetle, is the conversation that the three of us had going back a couple of months ago when you said that if the star players weren't going to play in baseball, how much that would affect this season and next season and beyond, to which we thought, well, either they're all going to come back and play or they're not. Now, there's real I would think this would be a real worry if this plan stays in place where they take the guys making the most money, $20 million and more, and they are going to have most of their salary just taken away from them, 80% of what they would make, while the lower paid guys are going to make almost three-quarters of what they would make for these games. The highest paid players, there's a real danger of them sitting out. Now it's a real possibility.
If you don't have top players, you don't have a season. I still believe that holds true.
So now, I didn't believe it at the time, but I also didn't believe that was, really going to be the case. I'm like, look, maybe one guy.
Is this your long way of saying I was right?
No, I was going to say maybe one guy, would sit. Like maybe Mike Trout is just going to say screw it, or Bryce Harper. Right, he's a good example. He is the one propping up Blake Snell and saying, well, someone had to say it. Amen. He's the best. Okay, well, Bryce Harper doesn't play. It doesn't mean people aren't going to watch baseball. If every single player who makes more than $20 million a year, in a lot of cases, those are the star players, those are the guys people want to see play, if all of them band together and say, hell no, we're not going to play for 80% of our money when other guys are making 75% or even 50% of their money, does that start to affect it? And if there is a mass exodus of the highest paid players, in many cases the quote-unquote star players from the teams, then it could have a real effect on how much people care about this season. I didn't think it was a possibility before, but if MLB holds firm to this proposal of theirs, that's a real issue.
And there are now there's now close to 40 players who make $20 million or more currently in the game. I mean, I can name them, and you tell me if they're good players or not. Mike Trout, Garrett Cole, Nolan Arenado, Justin Verlander, Manny Machado, Miguel Cabrera, Anthony Rendon, Albert Pujols, Mookie Betts.
Yes, 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 yes.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Yes.
Bryce Harper, Jose Altuve, Votto, Goldschmidt, Zimmerman, J.D. Martinez, Strasburg, Kershaw, Tanaka, Darvish. These are all guys with salaries over $20 million a year.
It's funny you mention Martinez. Like, he's such a thinker, too. Like, what's his thoughts on everything? I bet he'd be one of those, I'm not playing.
But he's a good example.
And you know who makes $20 million on the nose? Xander Bogaerts.
He might be safe then because I think it's $20 million and $1.
Oh, is that right?
I believe that is the...
All right, Bogey. All right, kid. Way to be. All right.
I think he's safe. But J.D. Martinez is a good example. Like, Red Sox are going to start playing today. But you know what? J.D. Martinez isn't going to play because he's in one of those guys. Are you still going to watch the Red Sox if J.D. Martinez isn't playing?
Yeah, I'll still watch him without him.
Yes.
Yeah, with him? Without him? Yes, I will.
Yeah.
Without Bogaerts, I'm out. You're telling me Bogaerts isn't there? I'm not watching.
Okay.
That's it. I stand with Xander. JD, I don't have that affection for him. Xander Bogaerts? Xander's not showing up? Oh, that's it then. I'm out.
Right.
See you next year. See you next season. We've already dealt with enough with losing Mookie Betts. Now you're telling me Xander Bogaerts isn't showing up because of the tax? Nope. I'm out. Sorry. JD, I could deal with that loss. I don't expect the Red Sox to be very good. So, you know, when you get to these points with your teams, Hardy, when you get to those types of seasons, you now are watching because you have favorite players. And they're guys you really like on your team. You really want to see play. JD Martinez just isn't that guy for me.
Yeah.
Mookie Betts was. Xander Bogaerts is. Rafael Devers is. But he's obviously not in the stratosphere of the kind of money that would impact him that greatly. So, you know. Yeah,
Bogaerts would piss me off.
Right?
I could satisfy my J.D. Drew itch by watching videos of him watching videos. Ooh, now look at him checking out his swing mechanics. Oh, that'd be enough for me.
If J.D. Martinez had opted out, is there a chance?
J.D. Martinez. What?
If J.D. Martinez.
Oh, J.D. Martinez. Sorry.
But that's like two of the same guys. Both made a ton of money, but like you have total detachment with these guys. Like, you could, you know, really care less. Yeah, but you're right. You know, you love guys like Bogaerts. You know, Mookie. Yeah. Those are dynamic players. Those other guys, not dynamic players, but they make a ton of money.
617-779-0985. Robert Kraft was on Fox News last night with some comments about the possibility of an NFL season and also some more on Jarrett Stidham, our conversation from yesterday. We'll do all that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, we're preparing to hopefully play football this fall. We're working hand in hand with our union. We believe we've developed protocols that allow us to do it in a safe way, looking out first, you know, for our players and our personnel, and then, of course, the fans. And yeah. I believe we can do it.
You know, everyone in the NFL sounds less sure of themselves than the league itself. Do you guys understand what I'm saying by saying
no.
that?
No.
All right, so we played the audio yesterday of Troy Vincent.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It was like, full steam ahead.
Yep.
And then you hear from Stephen Ross, or you hear from Robert Kraft, or you hear from who else have we heard from? Who do we play yesterday?
I mean, even the guy, you know, with the president of Notre Dame, we're going to play football, even if we have to suit up.
Well,
there was fans.
Who's the other one? Stephen Ross, Robert Kraft. I feel like we heard from someone else.
Pittsburgh, not
selling
all their tickets.
Pittsburgh with the 50-50. Yes. Thank you. That's what it was. I was thinking of the Steelers. The Steelers come out and say they're only selling half their tickets. And you hear Stephen Ross speak or you hear Robert Kraft speak, and I have so much more of an appreciation for the Steelers and Ross and Kraft than I do the, we're doing a season no matter what, type of attitude. Like, you hear from these guys, I think they're being honest. You know, we think we can do this. We think we can have a season. We think we're a go. But we also understand, hey, bleep happens. You know, look at how things have gone in recent months. So I just feel so much more real and authentic and less NFL douchiness that we're so used to from that league office.
Well, they got they have the best chance too because of time and during the break there, Jim. What did Charlie Baker say? The positive test rate is down to 8.6%
right now.
8% when we were hovering at 30, a month ago. So I mean, you know, if you continue at this pace and we're able to handle things better, the NFL is going to have the best chance to potentially play. And I think they're being careful with the wording of it, and you know, they're making plans. You know, we've talked. I mean, who knows what's going to happen in the preseason? You know, we go to the TV side of it. We might be calling games off monitors there. We might be traveling with the team during the regular season. Everything is up in the air. We don't know yet.
Right. So to say things are up in the air is genuine. Hey, yeah. Things could be really good. Numbers are trending good now.
We're hoping it continues.
Right. But we also know that in 8 weeks, things could be out of control. So we don't control that. The league doesn't control that. So we'll take it as it comes. But we think right now, standing here today, and who knows what that's even worth, but hey, right now things are looking good. As opposed to the, nope, it's happening. Like, oh, stop.
Yeah, I'd listen to the Jerry Jones, the Robert Krafts, the, you know, the Stephen Ross. I'd listen to those guys. You know, the Mara family down in New York. When they talk, I'd listen to them. And I think they would give you the best case as to potentially what could happen or where things are heading.
Well, you believe anything that Troy Vincent says? I don't believe anything that guy says ever.
Nope, and it's part of that, too. That's the last guy who should be talking for the league on anything. Nobody likes him. Players can't stand him. He's a former player.
Going back to the Brady guy. Yep.
And players can't stand him. I'm sure there are owners in the league who can't stand him. Why is that guy doing any of the talking for the league right now? That's another part. I just don't like that guy. I think he's shady. I think there's something weird there with that individual.
Swarmy with him. There is.
It's like a salesman.
Yeah. Yeah. Used car salesman.
But for the league, you know, they've got different jobs. The league's job is to get out there and promote the sport and to be the ultimate marketer for the NFL. When you hear the owners speak, I think they speak from a position more of a business owner, right? So they've got a responsibility
revenue
to their they've got a responsibility to their customers, and they know they're going to be held accountable on a local level if they start spewing a bunch of nonsense that they can't back up and start saying like, don't you worry, you buy your tickets, I guarantee you'll be in the stands at Gillette Stadium this fall, because they know that they're going to have to answer for that come September if they can't make good on those promises. But at a league level, all systems go. Don't you worry about it, because there's this overseen.
That's
like,
not marketing, though. That's just bluster. People are smart enough to see
what do you think
that
marketing is? I mean, that's what I'm saying. The league is mostly about, you know, at a league level, there's a lot of nonsense up there. You know,
there's a lot of nonsense.
You barely need the league in terms of, okay, make your rules, hire the refs, do the TV contracts, but when it comes to the day-to-day operations, the teams will handle that. And the teams are handling it better, and I think more honestly, than the league is, which is just par for the course. You know, the league is out there, you know, saying whatever the hell it is that they're going to say, but when it comes down to doing the actual work, that's where the owners come in, and that's where the teams come in, and those are the ones we should all be listening to. So
that's where you got to be careful.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense from just a business and an honesty standpoint. Yeah, they're the ones that are going to be held mostly accountable for this thing. It's not going to be some promise that Roger Goodell made or Troy Vincent said. Who's going to hold their feet to the fire later on?
No gun to the head, too. And Beetle, you talked about it too. You remember when the Patriots were the first to say, "Hey, we will give you the full refund for your tickets if you want, and you will not lose your space in line. You will be back next year if you don't feel comfortable going."
That to me is the best marketing anybody's had. Is what the Patriots did.
Yeah.
And what what their owner said last night and what Stephen Ross said yesterday. You know, there's some honesty in it. And I think people are smart enough to know who's full of crap and, you know, who's selling them a bill of goods and who's just being honest about the situation. All right, let's do a little live show planning on the air. What do you say?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's decide this now. We're going to get to everything here. Do we want to go to the Tom Brady topic next, which I'm not even sure is really a topic? Florida man Tom Brady, or do we want to get into the Stidham stuff?
I'm going to go Stidham.
I think we could do a few minutes of the Tom Brady what could be a show segment if we can figure out what the segment is and then transition over to Stidham later on.
And just to throw this randomly in.
Okay.
I went for a drive yesterday. You know where I went. Went out to UMass. I came back, and for whatever reason, I stopped at Burger King. And we've talked food before here, and it's going to head to some sort of a food discussion. And I was jiving for a Whopper. I'm saying, you know what? I'm feeling like a Whopper.
I jive for Whoppers sometimes.
Let's see how you land this plane. What does this have to do with Stidham or Brady?
Because he was jiving for a Whopper, Beatle. Are you not
show
listening?
We're live show planning here. So we're going to do the Stidham Brady stuff next. I think somewhere down the road here, by the end of the show, we get into a chicken sandwich discussion because we've talked about the Popeyes and the Chick-fil-A. And I pulled up to Burger King, and I wanted the Whopper yesterday. And I saw a picture of their crispy chicken sandwich.
A picture? Did you have it?
A picture on it. I ordered it, and I got it. And I tell you what, they're in the game. Burger King is in the chicken game, the chicken sandwich game. And it is a competition out there like no other. They've got the brioche bun. They got the right mayonnaise. Nice sliced tomato pickle. I'm telling you. I was surprised.
I wish you would have brought this up on the show call this morning. We could have carved out a longer segment time
down
for
the road.
It.
Down the road. We'll get, yeah, but just think about it. Yeah? Okay. Just throw that in the mix. If we were just live show planning.
I think you just did the topic, so I'm not sure what else there is to say.
Maybe we just covered it, yeah. But, yeah, there's like, oh, no, because the Chick-fil-A people, they're just it's like the hockey niche people. Like, you're never, you know, we know everything, you know. Yeah, it's just us. It's us. Yeah, Chick-fil-A. Nothing else ever exists.
Jim, T-Bone, Brady, or Stidham next? What do you
think?
Well,
we don't have time to do both now because Zoe just went off on chicken sandwiches for 3 minutes.
It's one or the other.
I'm so hungry right now.
What's Tom say? I want to know what T-Bone thinks.
Tommy thinks.
I know what he thinks.
I got to get to the bottom of this Brady thing.
Okay, Brady it is. We're getting to Brady next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When I tell you I am lost right now, I'm lost.
Why?
Because I have no idea on what this is. What it's playing off of, I'm lost, Hardy. Right. And you can set it up. You can tell us what it is that is happening. This is with a contribution from our tremendous television producer on NBC Sports Boston, Josh Fowler.
Best in the business.
You guys have been working on... What is going on? I'm lost.
Well, back
what
on,
is this?
Back on Tuesday, April 28th, Josh Fowler sent me a direct message, a private message on our Slack system there, right?
All right.
Said, Hardy, I'm working on a concept I'm going to pitch to the show. All right?
God.
Okay.
What do you mean, God? What are you
talking about? His wife's the one who watches the show all the time. Big fans of the show, right?
Right. Yes. The segment is called Florida Man, and it will be branded with any news about Tom Brady. This is the audio intro I wanted to share with you first. Mix may not be perfect. I wanted to get your thoughts.
So wait, hold on. Can I pause? Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Questions a lot. So Florida Man, as in the old Google Florida Man.
Right.
With, like, what was it? It was Google Florida Man and you're...
And you get all the crazy stories. Like, this has been, been done before.
Right.
Right?
It's playing off of that sort of thing?
The segment...
What if, like, I'm what
not
if
sure.
Said,
I'm not sure what the segment is. This is Josh's baby, and he said the
Florida,
segment is called
like Florida, like D-U-H. Florida Man.
He said the segment is called Florida Man, and it will
this is original. Yep.
It will be branded with any news about Tom Brady.
Oh.
So he sent this audio, and he said, "For the record,
I get it. I sort of get it now." So it's any news that's related to Tom Brady. We reference him now being a Florida man.
Right. So
he created an introduction to it.
He created both a graphic and an audio intro, and he said, don't play this on the air and tell me that I suck. I'm an audio amateur and hardly a professional. So now we're going to play it, and please don't tell him that it sucks.
Based off his avatar cartoons of us.
So this is unedited. This is Josh trying to basically create a sketch for you to follow along and say, you know, this is just my idea.
Well, this is what he wanted to use.
This is like the audio outline or audio sketch for you.
As the audio. Well, this is what he said. Here, I produced the audio. This could be the audio intro to his segment called Florida Man, which is about Tom Brady stuff.
This isn't right. This isn't right.
What?
This is like public.
A Florida man in trouble with the law.
Tom Brady is officially a big deal with the police.
Tom Brady has been cited for working out in a closed downtown Tampa park.
The Florida man is seen holding that alligator with its jaws taped shut as he tries to buy beer.
One Tampa man had the new QB show up inside his house.
Oh my God, Tom freaking Brady.
Florida man attacked an ATM.
The man says he doesn't remember anything about the night.
After calling 911 for a ride to the liquor store, he claims that he just didn't know what else to do.
So a couple of interesting edits in there, and
really?
So I said to him, I said, and again, this is now going back to Wednesday, April 29th. I replied.
This sounds like Arbella early edition. It sounds like Gary and Trini.
I think we could clean it up a bit, and if you want, I'd be happy to help.
Could you?
And then I promptly forgot about it for a period of 3 weeks. He asked me again last night, hey, what about that Florida man thing? And I said, oh, yeah, okay. So he had already sent me.
So you
like,
blew him off. You didn't love it. And now
I never said that.
The second time, and because Josh is so good at his job, and you like Josh, as we all do.
Yes.
You're like, now I owe it to him to go and do this.
So
I'd stick with that job, that job you do.
It's essentially the same. I changed it around a little bit.
Tom Brady is officially
a Florida man in trouble with the law, cited for working out in a closed downtown Tampa park. One Tampa man had the new QB show up inside his house.
Oh my God, Tom freaking Brady.
Better.
Tom Brady is
seen holding that alligator with its jaws taped shut.
See, what I did was I made it so Tom Brady was the Florida man in all these news reports, okay?
Yes, I
like
that.
As he tries to buy beer.
Tom Brady has attacked an ATM.
Tom Brady
says he doesn't remember anything about the night.
After calling 911 for a ride to the liquor store, he claims that he just didn't know what else to do.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so that's...
We're workshopping this here.
So what...
The song doesn't work for me.
The song sucks. I can't stand
just
that.
The song?
I'm so sick of that song.
Hardy, I can enjoy a Jimmy Buffett show, okay?
No, I like Buffett. The song is so overplayed.
Let me just be honest here. This is not an anti-Buffett take.
Oh, you're a real parrot head, I know.
But it's just...
It's like that Call Me Maybe song, you know? Like,
it's just punchy enough or upbeat enough or...
We need something from, like, Flo Rida.
Okay, so now Josh
needs something more.
Josh is messaging me privately again. Number one, hates us all. Number two,
that's not our problem.
The song is a reference to Breer saying that Brady was going to Margaritaville.
Okay, well, we can look at possible other,
or maybe put Albert Breer in there as one of the sound bites of saying Tom Brady is headed to Margaritaville.
Stutter and prick.
We've had some swings and misses on production before, but the segment idea, what do you think about the idea? Like, we update the Brady stuff in Florida with, like, its own little feature
on a regular basis.
But that's the whole idea behind it, right?
Yeah. But I think the idea also needs to be from Florida news sources.
Right.
Which means the Tampa Bay Times,
any of the Tampa news reports.
So we're not just like from Tampa.
Tampa radio station, something like that.
We're not just goofing on Brady. We're goofing on Florida media outlets.
Right.
Bingo.
It's like when the Tampa Bay Lightning remember the playoffs and the lady, the newscaster, what are we going to do with all those Stanley Cups we're going to win?
You know? Like,
there's one woman.
Okay. Yes. Okay. So now, Josh, do you have the graphic ready? Can you show everybody the graphic? Because the graphic is the best part. No, it's great. I think the graphic is fun. And we should incorporate that.
I haven't seen it yet.
That's a fantastic graphic. Come on. That's really good. Florida
it's
man.
It's so exotic.
It's Tom Brady, a cross between Tom Brady and Joe Exotic. It's got a very electric company type of font where it says Florida man superimposed over the state of Florida. Welcome to the Florida Sunshine State license plate there in the background. See, it works. It works
Party.
Visually. It works.
That lettering. Do you remember the Brown Hornet on the Fat Albert cartoons?
It's the same thing. Yeah, same thing. It's great.
Same lettering.
Great.
Brown Hornet.
So I'm excited about it. And we workshopped it a little bit. So we do the segment, but we do it with Florida media reports about Tom Brady.
And since we're doing this on the air, just throw it out. If the listeners see anything that they want to hear on this,
sure,
send it to us. Send it to us. We can scour all we want, but somebody might find something better than we can find.
We have a lot of listeners and viewers in Florida who will be, who will you know, have firsthand access to these reports as they see and hear them.
I don't want to point out the obvious there, but Joe Exotic was not a Florida man.
Yeah, he was Oklahoma, but when I see Joe Exotic, I think cheesy Florida.
So we're still workshopping.
Don't you?
We're workshopping.
Wait, would you rather have a picture of Carol Baskins or would you rather have a picture of Joe Exotic?
We need Giselle as Carol Baskin to go on the side.
Oh, God.
I want a picture of Giselle with Carol Baskin's hair. If you could impose Giselle barefoot riding that bike down that trail where Carol Baskins was going to get shot by the meth guy, that would work.
Zo wants full animation for the segment.
Yes.
We're not making a cartoon.
If we're going to do it right. You know, it's like the Portnoy ones, like Game of Thrones, where he's got his head on there. It's just hysterical. Yeah. Yeah, I like those.
Josh going to send another message, Hardy.
Oh.
He says, loves it. It takes a village, and I'll see what I can do.
That's what she said. She did say that village, you know, the field of wet earth.
We should just leave the computer. Tom and I have mics back here, but Josh doesn't have a mic. He's working from home, I think.
He's working from home right now.
So, we should just leave Hardy's computer up. So whenever he sends a message, we hear that little thing. Oh, hey, Josh has got something to say.
Oh, that's great. Josh should get his own sounder when he sends a message in.
Yeah.
Just that Slack sounder, that Slack notification.
What's it like? What is that?
It's like one of the aliens from Signs.
Yeah, well, we got. Yeah. Well, here's Josh over here speaking.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.